is over, but we are just getting started talking about it here on Post Show Recaps. It's the Yellow Jackets Early Buzz podcast on Post Show Recaps. We will be here every week recapping every episode of Season 2. You can get commercial-free versions of this podcast when you sign up at patreon.com/postshowrecaps at any level. That's patreon.com/postshowrecaps at any level for ad-free versions of the Yellow Jackets podcasts. Speaking of Yellow Jackets podcasts, this isn't the only coverage we will have this season. Myself and Marissa Garza will also be doing deep dives into these episodes every week with special guests, so make sure you send in your feedback and theories to our feedback form at postshowrecaps.com/buzzbuzzbuzz. Josh and LaTanya are also returning with their Versus podcast, where they pit Succession Season 4 against Yellow Jackets Season 2. I'm Jess Sterling, and today we are discussing Yellow Jackets Season 2, Episode 1, Friends, Romans, Countrymen. And I'm here with my fellow citizen detective, co-host Grace Leader. Grace, how are you?
Ear, ear, Yellow Jackets is back in session.
Nailed it.
Ear, ear.
We're back.
We're just going to play it by ear.
How many ear puns can we make throughout the podcast?
I know.
Please don't make this a drinking game. It's going to be very dangerous.
Well, last season was a lot of so they ate a person. So let me make as many cannibalism jokes as I can think of. And I feel like I know this is still in the cannibalism realm, but ear puns, I think. Get ready.
Yeah. Now it's very specific.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the great Josh Bigler could not be with us this week. He's off fetching a pail of water, Grace. Yeah. He's on water duty this week.
He tried to say that he was doing the cooking, and I was like, no, you're on water duty.
Get out of here.
Come on.
I mean, at the very least, he has, who is it, New Girl Crystal to keep him company with some show tunes.
Who loves to sing when she poops? This show's wild. This show's wild. I love it. It's great.
I've never even heard that this is a thing, and now we have two people on the show talking about how it's just a little bit easier to go number two when you're singing.
What does she say? Yeah,
it greases I'm trying to find the quote right now.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's whatever she says. It's kind of gross.
Also, look at this episode. Just setting up a softball for. They're a soccer team, but setting up a softball for the versus pod by calling the episode "Friends, Romans, Countrymen." Romans Roy. This is great. Wow, this show is they feel us. They know what we're doing. They're watching.
They know exactly what we're doing. Yeah. What are your general thoughts, Grace, before we get into full-blown recap of it? General thoughts on the premiere of season two?
Pretty fun. Pretty fun, I thought. I thought we dived into a lot of stuff. I thought pretty much like all of our sort of core folks are attended to. I think with we get some Shauna trying to figure out what to do post murdering Adam. We have Chaisa trying to figure out what to do post murdering a dog. Misty's also murdered someone and has to figure it out. And Nat's post kidnapping. So I mean, very fun, very fun, and extremely weird. So that's what I want. I think from the show. I think. Yeah. So, yeah, I have some interesting thoughts. I know you're going to mostly do theories and deep dives with Marissa. I'll send some your way because I think there's some interesting stuff, I think, that came out of this episode.
Yes, please do. I really enjoyed myself. I thought it was really smart of the show that obviously we still have two timelines. In one timeline, we are 2 months since the last time we saw the girls in 1996. But in the present day, we are picking up right where we left off. So it took me a second to kind of gather my bearings. But I did enjoy what we got to see. And I was happy that we
Lottie
fast forwarded a little time.
At the end of season one. Yeah.
Lottie, I have so many questions about Lottie.
You have a lot of questions about her?
A lot of questions about Lottie. So before we talk all through everything that happened here, let's go through a bit of a quick plot recap. Episode 1, Friends, Romans, Countrymen. It has been 2 months since we left our Yellow Jackets in 1996. Javi is still nowhere to be found, and rations are running low, but that doesn't stop Nat and Travis from getting up early, drinking some blood tea, and venturing out into the snow to look for him and map the wilderness. Travis has a panic attack, and Lottie is able to calm him down by putting her hand on his heart. He sees visions of a tree stump on a hill, and when Nat and Travis visit the stump, it is seemingly untouched by snow. Is it a clue to Javi's whereabouts? Shauna is now very pregnant and spending her time playing MASH with Jackie's dead body out in the shed. She carries around a lucky rabbit's foot, which is actually Jackie's ear, before eventually biting into it. Fan has been shackling herself to Ty to prevent her from sleepwalking. Thaisa is not a fan of putting Van in danger, especially when her alter ego takes control and bites Van's lip, drawing blood. Misty has been banned from food prep after she drugged the entire team with mushrooms last season. She may have found a friend in New Girl Crystal who loves to sing and seems to be irritating the other new faces in the group. Meanwhile, in present day, it's only been a day since we last saw our yellow jackets. We need adult Lottie, who is the leader of a cult that wears the symbol as a necklace and kidnaps Natalie. Natalie is able to escape and comes face to face with Lottie as her cult is burying a naked man alive. Lottie says she has a message for Nat from Travis. Misty has noticed Nat's absence and just does some citizen detectiving around the motel to discover that Nat's door was kicked in. She also logs onto her citizen detective subreddit to see that a fellow detective has noticed Adam's strange credit card purchases and believes him to have a mysterious lady friend. Shauna is on cleanup duty as she and Jeff visit Adam's art studio and discover many paintings of herself that he did. Jeff seems upset, and Shauna admits that the thought of him with someone else turned her on. They have some over-the-table sex and scrub Shauna's faces off of the paintings. Together, they burn Shauna's journals and Adam's license, hoping to be rid of any evidence of their involvement. Unfortunately for them, their daughter Callie knows something is up and finds Adam's burnt license on the grill with just his face on it. Thaisa is busy replacing Biscuit with Steve the Yorkie, but when she tries to introduce Steve and Sammy, her wife Simone tells Thaisa she saw Thaisa's shrine in the basement and to get help. Thaisa discovers her alter ego's handiwork and promises Steve it won't happen again. And that is what happened on the season 2 premiere of Yellow Jackets.
Just people making questionable decisions, I think, all episode. Like, all episode
so
long.
So many.
I just wanted to be like, stop, stop, you have to do... So first of all, Jeff and Shauna... go, and they're like, definitely don't want anybody to know they're there. And then they decide to sleep together. And in my head, I feel like create opportunities for DNA to be is the nicest way I'll put it. At the scene of the, uh-huh. at the scene of the, also the crime they're gonna do, because they're gonna ruin the paintings.
Yeah.
Thaisa buying another dog, I think. Questionable decision. Yeah, there's a lot of just questionable decisions, I think, all around.
There's a lot of bad things. I mean, Misty blackmailing the motel owner, somehow finding out his social security number is very strange and scary.
For some reason, I set the lowest bar for Misty Quigley. You know, I'm like, yeah, that tracks that she'd take those social security
That makes sense
numbers.
That she would do that. Yeah. So which storyline would you like to start with? Why don't we start with the present day, since we're already kind of chatting about it, because we have three different storylines, actually, this week. But let's talk Shauna and Jeff, because... I know we suspend our disbelief to a certain amount in the show with most television, but like Adam has been missing, and I don't understand how like the police don't know that he had a lease on an art studio, right? Like, does this not, why wouldn't have the cops already checked this place out?
Come on, Kevin Tan, what are you doing? Get on it. You're such a dummy. Such a dummy, Kevin Tan. Yeah. Can't find all and the evidence, huh?
It seems like a terrible idea for them to go there. I mean, obviously, you know, it makes sense that, oh, I have this little drawing of me that he has, and maybe I need to go and take care of this artwork. But I was like, I thought when they pulled out the liquid grease, I legitimately thought they were going to burn the place down.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, there's other art studios, I think. You were in a hallway. I think the thing that's interesting about this is I think, you know, I don't hate the Adam and Shauna stuff. I kind of just went to, I think I wish it went somewhere and it doesn't really go anywhere. I do think that's interesting. She like kills a man who seemingly like what, like he's not Javi. He's not like seemingly anybody. But the one thing I thought that was very interesting about, I thought some of the paintings were like kind of incredibly unflattering photos of Shauna, just in terms of how like kind of like demonic or like almost like ghoulish she
looked.
There was
one, and I'm not positive.
Jeff
of
looks
this.
At it. I think there's one that he looks at.
Yes, yeah. there's one while the deed is happening.
Yeah,
there is one that looks to me almost like she's like half woman, half wolf.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't know if it's I'm looking for wolves because we know they're a thing on the show.
Uh-huh.
But you're right. Like there are a few that are very flattering and very beautiful.
Yes.
But there are a few that are scary.
Yeah.
And you kind of wonder, I think we're done with the Adam stuff in terms of like, I mean.
Him, does he know any, like a mystery behind Adam? Is that what you mean? Because it doesn't seem like we're done with like police investigation into Shauna. But I think I would agree that I But then this is where I'm like, but maybe not. Maybe there's
because
more
Callie
to
finds the license.
Well, Callie finds, like, I do think the like sort of investigation into Shauna and the disappearance of Adam, I think, will be a recurring thing that modern day Shauna has to deal with. And I do think that like we could see some combination of Lottie or Thaisa with her like new power being able to sort of like, you know, I could see this being a storyline that does kind of get yada yada away at some point, but will be a thing that feels like is an issue for a bit before they figure out how to deal with it. But I do, from the mysterious, like how much does Adam relate to Lottie or the cult or whatever, I was thinking that was completely done. I thought that the end of season one was like, he's kind of a nobody and she kills him because she doesn't,
right?
Like she's suspicious, and then realizes like, I was so wrong. But then the way some of the photos are, and so I'm hoping that it's more so that like, while Adam did like Shauna, he also saw something in her that was like troubling her potentially. It's kind of unfortunate because I don't know how we're going to like, I don't think that we can get it. So I think we just have to like sort of come to this conclusion on our own. But I take it as like, yeah, there's some dark stuff that's in your past that I could see through us interacting, you know? And I wish, yes, maybe we got a little bit of that previously, but we didn't. And so that's how I interpret the sort of like ghoulish demonic versions of that's his Himmick expressing something that was inside of Shauna that maybe she can't even control, which by the end of the episode, like, I mean, first on the board to eat a human in Yellow Jackets. I mean, we weren't making these predictions, but she eats an ear.
She does. And I think that like they also exemplify this in that very scene with Jeff and Shauna in the art studio, where she says, and we talked a little bit in season one, and I know I've been speculating on this as well, as to, is Shauna in love with Jackie or in love with Jeff or both, right, of them, or right, like their relationship? What is the situation there? Because it never fully felt super, pun intended, fleshed out. And so when we hear Shauna say, the thought of you with someone else turns me on,
yeah,
I was like, ding, ding, ding. I feel like there is something here.
Yeah.
So I definitely think there's more. I think we've always been under the impression that like Lottie would be the first one to eat someone else, or maybe even a Misty. Shocking to me that it is Shauna. But I did love the way they did it.
It's so weird, but it's like this, you know, I don't know if we're jumping into the 1996 stuff, but like the way, like, why does she do it is a thing I think we'll like theorize all week. Like everybody will be doing, mm-hmm, this of like, is it a way to be close to Jackie, like in this very weird way? Like, you know, if she loves Jackie or wants to be Jackie, it, you know, the old saying, you are what you eat.
I don't think that's incorrect. I think totally. I want everyone to send their theories into me, apushorecaps.com/buzz. Please. But I do think there's something there of like, if I consume a piece of you, I become you or more, right, like you or closer to you. Right. If I kiss your boyfriend, if I have sex with your boyfriend, I become closer to you, right? I don't think it's a coincidence that we also then see the conversation between Shauna and Jackie in the shed in 1996,
yeah,
where they're having a discussion of how did it, and this is with herself. We know this is with herself. We know Jackie is dead.
Very excited that the actress who plays Jackie is going to potentially, although I do feel bad. Is this like she shows up next episode and she doesn't have an ear? And she's like, you ate my ear, dude. Like, what are you doing?
No, yeah. Uh-huh. I kind of hope it's not a one-off. I find the conversation to be fascinating.
I agree. I think it gives some really interesting insight into Shauna. So I do hope that Ghost Jackie sticks around.
Yes. Yeah. She says like, oh, how did you and Jeff get together? And we find out that, and part of this to me, I don't know how much is true versus guilt from Shauna of like, Shauna kissed Jeff first. It turns out it wasn't the other way around. And there's question as to who was the one to instigate a breakup between Jeff and Jackie before that all happened. But, mm-hmm, but yeah, to go back to the present day storyline, what do we think is going to happen here with Callie? Finding the like, wow, what a coincidence that just his face is left over from all of the burning in the grill, yeah, in the grill, you know?
Well, I mean, we'll talk about poor judgment. I did talk about Thaisa buying another dog, but also Simone not calling the cops on dead doghead in the basement. And I feel similarly that I don't necessarily think, I think Callie, you know, she has this moment of like righteousness where she does say, you guys can eat your pig anuses. I'm going to go make a vegan burger or whatever. And she's just like, I think the record would prove, Jess, I'm a little more lenient to children and teens on TV shows than I think you are.
The record does show.
Great.
Yes.
This is tough, but I feel like they're making her out to be so hypocritical. The moment where she's like, you have to tell dad. She's like, I did tell dad. And she's like, how dare you put that on him? I was like, oh my God, this is what a horrific showing for Callie this episode. So I do not think this is like Callie taking the moral high ground, going to go like call the cops or whatever. This is all leverage for Callie to get whatever she would like out of a relationship with her mom. I know last season there's like, you know, I think this is like, stop nagging me about a curfew. I think it's like this sort of teen, like, what does she want out as a teenager?
Yeah.
More than like, wow, I can't believe you killed a man. Yeah.
Yeah. The scene where she's yelling at her mom, like, can't believe you did that. It feels very much to me of like, Callie wants to be angry with her mom and is going to find a way to do it.
The people in my life who there's never a solution to a problem. The most annoying people in the right. So it's like always like just constantly in anger mode rather than like, you know.
That's Callie. Yeah. I mean, she's Callie. A teenager. So like, you know.
Yeah.
But I also will say like something does feel up with her in terms of she's taking on a bit of this. I don't know if trauma is the right word, but like she's telling her boyfriend to leave. Right. She's like, oh, I have to go study. Like it doesn't. This is not just acting out against her mom. Like this is affecting her deeply. This Adam being missing type of thing.
Great Jeff episode. Can I just quickly shout
out? Yes, yes.
Hello, McDonald's. You've got the chicken nugget department because I'm selling 6 pieces. This is great. Jeff is tremendous. They set a tree on fire and he
cracked me up.
And when he can't use the hose, and so he just gets the little towel, the wet towel. Very funny. It's just great. Jeff is A+. Mm-hmm. The performance, I didn't know I needed.
They're no Misty in terms of a cover up, you know. No, like they're they're bumbling, you know.
He is making hot dogs to cover up. So I thought it would make sense.
Also, can I just say, not that I probably need to see this. Don't burn plastic in your grill and then cook food over it.
Yeah, I know.
So bad for you.
Yeah.
Like you can bring out the hot dogs. Maybe cook like two just to look like you were doing it.
Yeah, do it
and then
reverse.
Throw away.
Yeah, reverse order, I think. Yeah.
Or Grace, brilliant. Or that. This is terrible.
Yeah, no, it's bad. It's bad news. Bad news. Bad news.
But let's move on to Thaisa. We talked a little bit about she's getting Steve the Yorkie. Seems like a terrible move, Grace, to get a dog after yours goes missing and you wake up with a bite mark on your hand.
I don't like this at all. I feel very, but you know, I know you didn't draft Steve the Yorkie in your death draft, but I'm gonna put him in. I'm gonna put him on the board. Okay. I'll sell low. I don't know. Steve the Yorkie. I don't feel good about his being purchased by Thaisa.
No, yeah. Especially when like, you see him run in the basement into that little shrine area. And I'm like, Steve, run the other way, Steve.
I know. But Simone here, I think not calling the police, which I think is
bad, bad move.
Telling Thaisa she has to get help, which I think is fair, but maybe it could be like mandatory legal help. maybe we could like, you know, not that the system's great, but like, you know, I think perhaps we could figure it out that way instead of like, oh my God, he ran into his mom. Sammy ran into his mom at the school. It's like only that Simone notices like 2 minutes later that Thaisa is there. This is not great. This is not great for Simone.
No, not great. She threatens to like go public with it, which will ruin the campaign for Thaisa. But I think the problem is, and what's interesting to me is, right, we learned last season that it didn't seem like Simone was ever made aware of any of these, you know, dissociative episodes that Thaisa has, which is kind of fascinating. We know that, like, stress is a big trigger for it. But I don't think Thaisa is helping her case at all this episode by getting another dog, even before knowing for sure that you were involved in, like, Biscuit's, disappearance. Doesn't seem like the right move to get another dog. It really does feel like she's just like, let me buy your love with a puppy, Sammy.
Yeah,
just not great.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm interested. So I feel like the storylines sort of are, you know, between 1996 and the present day are sort of intermingling, but we get this moment where So Van has been handcuffing herself to Thaisa, and Thaisa, you know, they go to bite, or to, they're kissing, and Thaisa bites her lip. And I'm like, oh boy, bad news for Van, I think, in terms of, and, but Van seems to like, she's like, no, thank you. But also then like does use the blood to write, I love you on her arm.
Van, poor yeah. Van. She, poor Van. I don't know that she knows like how to be like, you deserve better, Van.
Yeah.
You know, not to have your face bitten. Yeah, so, I mean, I get it, right? They're out in the wilderness. She knows that Thaisa is going through something and she wants to help her in her mind. And she even says it, you saved me from a wolf. Yeah. Like, you saved my life. I'm going to be here for you. But it's really scary, in my opinion, to then shackle yourself to someone that is unpredictable in the way that Thaisa is. Because I said this with in our predictions podcast with Marissa about how Thaisa's alternative personality, or, you know, dissociative moments very much feel id driven. They're very much just like straight id, all just gut instincts. And that's very scary to be dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, there was a moment in our preview pod with Josh, and you were like, so yeah, we don't know that Lottie is the Antler Queen. And I was like, we don't? And that's like, for me, like every article was like, yeah, Lottie revealed as the Antler Queen. And I think like, this is a very interesting thing that I just wasn't thinking about for all the months the Yellow Jackets was on. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, they revealed it, but they didn't actually really reveal it. And so like, even in this episode, we'll get to Lottie, but I'm like, the thing I'm sort of most interested in is Van is somebody who does seem, you know, previous seasons in the first season does seem to like think there could be something there with Lottie, and it's just I'm so compelled by this idea that like arguably the most dangerous person we've seen on the show I think is Thaisa
right? Or Misty.
So I'll say in 1996 I actually think Thaisa might be the most dangerous, and in modern day Misty seems to be the most dangerous.
I would agree with this. Yeah. Now I will say, I think now that I've seen this premiere, I feel like we have three solid contenders for Antler Queen.
Okay.
Lottie, which is the chalk pick. Yes. Everyone thinks it's Lottie.
Yes.
I think Thaisa is least likely, in my opinion, but still possible, where if maybe Antler Queen is this alternative, like if it's a DID situation, dissociative identity disorder, if it is this other person in her, maybe that is Antler Queen. Or hear me out, Shauna.
Yeah,
we have seen Shauna wear antlers when they all take mushrooms and she's running through the forest. She has antlers on her head.
Yeah, so I actually thought this too, where so much of season one in the modern day is about not letting what happened got out. And I do feel like Shauna being the first one to eat an ear really does put this thing in my mind that I think it will be very actually interesting if this plays out. And it doesn't, not that it will be uninteresting if it doesn't play out, but I think as Nat is going to go and find Lottie, I do think this idea that like, no, I wasn't like Lottie being like, I wasn't the crazy. I sacrificed an animal, but like, that's a weird, you guys were eating people. And I think that like, there could be this thing where there is like, yeah, a little bit of a war that potentially brews. And actually where I think the Van and Thaisa stuff, I think Van is someone who I'm worried about making it out of the any episode, basically, because she's so close to Thaisa. But I also wonder, as Van has a connection to Lottie, is there this world where Thaisa having these moments in the modern day are, and nobody else really be seemingly like, yeah, you don't hang out with Thaisa. Like, Thaisa's crazy. You can't hang out with like Shauna, Misty, Nat, all just like being fine with Thaisa. I wonder actually if there's something to like Van being able to like to control and use, or even somebody being able to like, this is actually great for us that we can like set Thaisa wherever we go chase,
instruct the id.
Yes, and like control it. And now that she's like years later is like removed from the island.
Fascinating.
And doesn't have like, wants to be, I'm done with all of that stuff, and like reverts back to like the stuff we've seen from season one of having these moments of going outside, eating dirt, like, you know, all of this stuff. So I think that could be, and the fact, and I wonder if the stuff with the dog is like the two things merging together, that like the id or the dissociative disorders were being controlled, but through also this like cult sacrificey stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's also happening. then the two things are getting like intertwined in the modern time where she's like, I need to eat dirt and I need to like perform a sacrifice.
It's certainly possible. And that's what I love about this show is like, there are so many options and all of them do seem plausible to me at this time. Yeah. But yeah, I do see like, I mean, I know as much as we talk about like us being scared for Van, the scene was very sweet between them. I really loved them as a couple in season one. I think they balance each other out very well. But I also, there's something to be said about shared trauma and how sometimes that brings people closer together. But sometimes once you're out of that traumatic experience, that person reminds you of that trauma. And so I could see that being the reason, because we know in the future, Thais and Van are not together. That could be a reason, could be just growing apart. But to me, it also seems like there could be something more there.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we see a, like not much, but a little bit from 1998. In terms of who gets rescued. We did see Van amongst the group of girls that are taken off of out of the Canadian wilderness. So we know she exists. At least in 1998, she exists.
I was just going to say there's a thing that another show did really well, which was actually more about addiction. But Euphoria does this storyline really well about when you're like trying to recover from something and you put too much of your success on a person, an individual person, that's really dangerous, because when your relationship with that person potentially starts to fall apart for whatever reason. In Euphoria, it was about how your addiction, and your stability in those moments is tough. I could see that sort of maybe playing out with Thaisa and Van as they're going through this trauma and they have each other. Like, that is good, but also if their relationship at any point starts to fracture and then they don't have that person, what happens to like your stability in terms of the way you were not using them is the wrong word, but you had them as a support, and then suddenly they might not be there. So I think that's an interesting thing to keep an eye out for.
Let's dive into Misty here. We haven't talked about Misty yet. She needs to find Nat. She's like, Nat is my best friend. She wouldn't just leave me high and dry. I did feel really bad for her, Grace. I know she's kind of, I don't know if she's evil. She's a little twisted is maybe the word I would use. But when she made some like Hawaiian 5-0 punch for everyone. Yeah. And no one came to her little get together except for Shauna.
I do like her interrogating Shauna, being like, it's not as easy as you think being interrogated by the police.
But
I don't think it's very easy to be interrogated by the police, if I'm being honest. So I don't know what Misty is watching, but the voice changer is really funny. Her just trying to like goad her is very funny. And that's, you know, I thought one of the things that we're missing is kind of what is so fun about Misty is how well, and this is like Christina Ricci, like being incredible, is her playing off of other people. And so we do get that at the beginning. And obviously like the guy in the motel is like fine, but like, I wouldn't really know him. And I just want, like, I so badly want her and Nat to be reunited, because I think the two of them are like so funny together. And I just want Misty and somebody else, because I feel like that's when her zaniness works the best. And so I'm like, kind of like, yeah, you got to find them. Not, you know, because they're in danger, because I need like comedic relief on my TV.
I mean, I think it's bound to happen. If you've seen the trailers for this season, it is certainly bound to happen. It is very funny, her doing her citizen detective work. I just find like Misty seems like this type of person who would be nosing around in other people's business, want to be a citizen detective, because there's no way she's ever going to be an actual detective.
Who wouldn't want to be a citizen detective? Stop. I think it would be really fun. Stop. Okay, I do think it's very funny that because we have like essentially her being like, wow, that's like a lot. And then whoever is writing it, which like, if you know the casting, you know who it is, but I will not spoil this because I think it's going to be a fun reveal for people who don't know. That person is like, I guess this is getting annoying by now. And so I'm like, I was not thinking, like, I knew what this person got cast for, but I was not expecting it to be. And if we want to talk about like two people playing off of each other, I'm very excited.
It's going
to
be fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be really fun. But I do love, you know what, as much as we poke fun at Misty doing her citizen detective work, it works, because she goes to the motel. She ends up in Nat's room and sees that the door has been broken in. She could tell something is up here. Yeah. So
the splinters in the wood. Yeah.
Yeah, very exciting for Misty. And I felt, okay, I know, like, but this is, we talk about this all the time on Succession, Grace, like how certain characters are kind of messed up and maybe we're not supposed to root for them. But when Misty is just sitting on the motel bed, like, no, Misty, don't cry. She's not worth it. I was like, Misty, you just let those tears out, girl. It's okay.
literally in the previous one, it's like, remember when Misty killed someone, you know?
Yeah.
This is, if,
but it was only Jessica Roberts, so who cares, right?
Jessica Rabbit. I always talk about, I always talk about how, like, the magic of Succession is that, like, they can make me care about truly awful people. And I do feel like Yellow Jackets has a little bit of that magic as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's bounce to Nat, who she's looking for. Nat is tied up in, like, a cabin on a cult compound.
Yeah, it looked like a summer camp, actually, which alarmed me. I don't want to.
You ever been a part of one of these situations?
I mean, that's why it alarms me, because I don't want anybody to find out about it. I'm like, too close to home.
Yeah. But I do love, like, she's resourceful, right? She's always been that way. Juliette Lewis thrashing on the twin bed that she is shackled to was so just everything. And of course she's going to manipulate this. Why are you sending in this girl? Looks to be about 15 years old. Like, I just think
I did love her goading her in, being like, are you thinking about how you think you want to get somebody else?
She's
like,
yes.
No. And she goes to do it and then gets stabbed in the hand with a fork.
That was great.
If someone didn't need an ear this episode, I do feel like getting stabbed in the hand with a fork would be much bigger headline. But
yeah. We see a little bit of tension between Nat and Lottie in 1996, which it does seem to carry through into present day when she sees Lottie coming out of the woods in this, like, what is going on? Everyone is coming out wearing these animal masks, doing some kind of sacrifice with this naked old man who's laying in a grave.
Yeah, beats me. I don't know. I've never been a part
no,
of.
No, bees me. I think
bees
you meant,
me. Right? I do love Lottie. Okay, so there's a lot about this little scene that very subtle things that I very much like. Nat having a stick and hitting a guy with it and not like knocking him out. It just kind of like hits and the guy's like, oh, like yeah, that's what the stick would do. I thought was really and then Lottie being like, okay, no, stop. This is my friend, and Nat being like, oh, is that what we are? Like, I just think it's like so intriguing. It's just enough for me to be like, very fun that these two characters are going to interact. We didn't talk at the beginning when Travis and Nat are going to go out to look for Javi and map out the wilderness. Yeah, they drink the blood tea. This is for their own protection.
Yeah. And Lottie says, like, well, we've been doing it every day and you've been fine every day. So must be the tea. And it's specifically a prick of Lottie's blood that she mixes with some kind of tea that she's got up early to make. And and they drink it. And it does seem like Nat is less, like, more skeptical. Travis is more willing to accept it. And I think part of this, Grace, is you have to have hope, right? Like, he is so hopeful that Javi is still out there. He's willing to do anything for the potential of getting him back.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. I would say that he does seem hopeful. He's also not doing great, our friend Trav, who is imagining Javi is a dead fox and then having a full-on panic attack, which is quite sad. I didn't like to see either of those things. And no sign of Javi anywhere, even though they've scouted out most of the territory. So bad news.
Yeah, this is a really, this is something Marissa and I talked a lot about on the predictions podcast of, like, what are we doing with Javi? You know, I don't think Javi is dead.
I don't think Javi is dead.
I mean, I think, right, realistically, if I am them, if I am Nat and Travis and I am in the wilderness and 2 months have passed and it's really cold winter, you know, he's probably dead. But on this show, no, I don't think Travis is dead. And I think this is going to be a point in the column of Travis and Lottie. This is not the last thing we've seen of Travis following Lottie, maybe. Maybe Javi gets found and Travis is like, wow, Lottie is saying a lot of truth here. Maybe I should follow her. There's something there. And I think it would only breed further resentment between Nat and Lottie, which makes sense for the present day as to why there's such antagonism between them.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a little bit of a love triangle, but not, I don't think between Travis and Lottie. I don't expect it to be romantic, but I do expect it to be like, I kind of I believe what she's saying and what she's doing, and that conflicting Travis to the point where, like, they're not together in the present day, but obviously something happened between Lottie and Travis and the bank, like, you know, draining the bank account from season one and sort of fake suicide, you know, show. So I do think that that's something I'm tracking, that, like, the three of them potentially, and I think it's very interesting because I wasn't sure. Again, like part of me was a little bit like, I really want Shauna to be like really mixing it up with like everybody else. And we did get a little bit of Misty, but not really anybody else. It was like really her and Jackie focused, and then Jeff and Callie and obviously Adam. And I kind of, you know, you said this, I think on the preview pod, you felt like Melanie Lynskey was a little bit like somewhat wasted on the show. She's tremendous, but the plot, whatever. And I want her so integrated, but I have to say like getting like Nat with Lottie in episode one is pretty exciting to me in terms of
very
like,
exciting.
We're getting some like, you know, forward momentum on some of this stuff, which is fun.
Well, especially because I personally wasn't, we knew that Lottie, an adult Lottie, was cast for the show. We knew that we would see her in the present day. Was not expecting to open the show, open the present day with adult Lottie leading the cult. So that was interesting. I do want to talk desperately about the moment with her and Travis where it's night time. He's having a panic attack. Lottie comes over. And she rests her hand on his heart and like tells him to breathe, is like trying to calm him down. Yeah. And he has visions. And now I want to point out, because it took me a second viewing to realize this, the stump he has visions of is, I don't think, the stump from season one that they sacrificed the heart at.
I don't think so either, because that one is so hollow as well.
Yes.
Like there's
a
point, there's a thing of like you put something into the tree where this does seem like a full on stump.
And he has visions of it. It's like surrounded by candles and there's like, like bright shining lights. And then there's Lottie. And so then Nat and Travis are going to go out to look at the stump. What, like, do you have any theories, Grace, on like what this is, what this means? Are we going to get into some mysticism stuff? Like, does Lottie have powers basically?
Yeah, I think it was so fun when you and Marissa were talking. Marissa put this really well, which is essentially the way that this is a horror movie is how your all the stuff you did in high school coming back to haunt you, but like it turned up to 11. That was really fun. And then I think the other thing you two talked about was this idea of, is this show spiritual or is it about people's mental health? We know that Lottie is schizophrenic. Is that right?
Yes, she takes medication for treat.
She's not taking her medication. Isn't
she ran out while she was in the wilderness.
So I think that's really interesting in terms of like having these visions and it being something as sort of, you know, meaningless-esque as a stump. You know, this is, you know, and it didn't seem to me to be like supremely like, if I was on Survivor, I wouldn't be looking for a clue in this one because it's like, you know, not like it's not significant enough. It just seems like a stump. So it's really interesting. I don't know. I'm not sure. I definitely like, I think I do see it as like a place where they will do some weird stuff moving forward. Like that's where some like this ritualistic stuff, and that's really what we're getting into, right? Is like, that's with like the blood.
Right.
And what we've seen with the heart. Right. So that's kind of what I expect from the stump. The other thing, right, is it's season one where, and it's Lottie who has the vision of her in like a damp, like underground bunker with all the candles. Yes. Right. Yep. So, and I feel like there's some candle imagery there. So
when she's being baptized, I believe is when she has that vision.
That's right.
So I think it's certainly going to be important.
Visions is really interesting too. Sorry. Just as I'm saying like that, this is a thing that we're saying that it's like, Travis, but is it like both of them see it? And is that a thing where they start to like how Lottie builds connections with people of like, it's not just that like drink my blood tea and you're safe, but like, how could I possibly have like been there? But if she starts to have these like shared visions with people, I think that's incredibly interesting.
Especially because this seems like the perfect time to bring it up. We have this 1998 storyline that is mostly focused on Lottie. Yeah. And Lottie returns from the wilderness. Her parents bring her to a quote unquote medical professional. I really don't even want to give them that title, who seemingly do some kind of shock therapy to her.
This is awful.
Awful to watch. When she is at the doctor's office, she just looks numb, might be the word to put it. And we see her probably in some sort of institution. She has shorter hair, so it seems like some time has passed. And her roommate seemingly is having some sort of panic attack. And she does the same gesture. She puts her hand on her heart and she tells her, listen, they're going to take care of you. Like, I'm okay. I'm better. You'll be fine. And it makes me wonder, like, if we are leaning into the mysticism side of things, Is it something to do with the hand on the heart? Does that do something? You know, does that trigger a vision in the other person that she is touching? So definitely they're dropping some sort of breadcrumbs for us to follow. I'm finding it all very fascinating.
I think those were ear crumbs, unfortunately. Shauna spilt a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
But I'm finding it all very fascinating. And I do think that whatever this stump is, I think it's going to be a key to unlocking Javi's whereabouts. I do think it is important to Javi's whereabouts, whether or not he like found an underground bunker or something and has been like somehow surviving for 2 years, right?
All right. Well, we like to theorize. Let me theorize that there is stuff inside the stump. Javi's stuff from that Javi had. Like, I don't think we see Javi in 1996 anymore. I really agree with your theorizing on the preview pod that I think Javi shows up in the modern day, but potentially doesn't show up in the past. But is it there's stuff inside the stump?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all so fascinating. I'm really enjoying what I feel like was a very slow build to Lottie in season one and kind of continuing with that in season two and getting a lot more of Lottie in this premiere than I honestly expected to. So I really did love that they were able to incorporate modern day Lottie, and I'm desperate to know what she's going to tell Nat. Like, what did Travis have to say?
I thought this was a good premiere because I think, in listening to your preview pod, there's a lot of things left on the board from season one. I don't really think any of them get answered this episode. Really? Can we think of like anything? I don't think so. Any like big questions? And I still thought the episode was very compelling in the way it was asking new questions while also giving us some information as well. I thought it was a really, fulfilling episode, I thought.
Yeah, it did feel very full. It was like in an hour, so that was it. Felt like a good sized.
Which is tough when you just get one ear to eat. It's normally not very filling. So, yeah.
I just like Shauna and the ear, right?
Yeah.
The way she's, because it's an accident, how it comes off, yeah. Right? She knocks Jackie over, and then she picks up her ear and she just kind of half-heartedly attempts to reattach it, and then puts it in her pocket. And carries it around with her. And it, to me, very much feels like, I know rabbits come up a ton. I'm going to bring this up with Marissa and we're going to chat about it. I've always been obsessed with the imagery of rabbits on the show. Very much felt to me like when you have a lucky rabbit's foot when you were a kid. Like, I don't know. This is really gross to me now.
No.
In the 90s, it was a thing. You had a lucky rabbit's foot. She's like stroking it. She's like looking at it constantly, leading to her eating it. Like, Grace, I have to ask you, what's your leading theory on, like, why does Shauna eat the ear? Is she just hungry?
To be close to Jackie, to have Jackie literally like a part of her.
Inside of her.
Yeah, that's it, I think. I think it's that's very sad, I think, actually.
Yeah. It's leading me to believe that it actually is her as Antler Queen. I do think there's, like, other parts that probably I'll break down a little bit more with Marissa, but, like, one of my things is, okay, a yellow jacket is a hive, right? You have the hive, you have the queen bee. The queen bee is the mother. I mean, Shauna has a baby in her belly right now. Like,
oh, that's true. Yeah, I keep forgetting about the baby. The
How
baby
can
was
you?
Not.
Her stomach is huge.
The baby was not in 1998, right? We didn't see a baby.
You know what? Now I want to rewatch that scene and saw. I don't think so. I didn't see a baby.
I did think that girl who gets stabbed in the hand with a fork, I thought that could have been Shauna. And I can't figure out the math on how old Shauna's.
Shauna's baby would be a lot older than that girl, because that girl looked like younger than Callie.
I kind of thought she was like a little bit older than Callie.
Oh, really? She's like very teen, like lost teen, like maybe even like 20. Like she's just very lost 20-year-old.
So how old? 26?
So we're in 1996 when the baby is born.
So like 26 would be how, like, if we're thinking like it came out last year, it's 2022.
Yeah.
So the baby would be
in like mid-20s.
Mid-20s. I could have seen it for that girl. But anyway,
Natalie stabbed Shauna's daughter.
I mean, I guess that person's so good. I just feel like she didn't quite get enough to make me think that that's Shauna's baby. So.
Yeah, it felt to me like she's just like a patsy, like, oh, you're easy to manipulate. Let me get on out of here. But yeah, that was our episode. I really enjoyed myself. I think there's a lot to love about the premiere. I think they were setting up a lot for the future. Again, like you said, they didn't answer a ton of questions, but I kind of like, I wasn't expecting them to in the premiere of the season. I didn't really think they were going to be answering a ton of questions for us.
No, I'm with you. I said like I don't, you know, but I didn't need it, but I do think there's enough like forward momentum and new questions being asked while also like I think, you know, providing at least some like context. Even if we don't know the answer to it, I do think like Lottie envisions and like the way she sort of like, you know, they're drinking the blood tea. There's a bunch of stuff in here that I think.
Oh, and she draws the symbol on the window as
she
well.
Does. But you know what? I was thinking about that in the way that like, you know, sometimes it'd be like, how do you draw a five? You know, and the people like, some people don't do the top yes. first or whatever. Or like how to do that like cool diamond shaped S that everyone, we all did mm-hmm. as kids. But, so we got official comment. This is how you draw the weird symbol, which also the pendants looked very fancy. The one that,
yeah, I mean, she's yeah. had like 20 something years to make them, so they better look good.
It's true.
So we're going to come back next week, of course. These are going to be dropping on Fridays. So if you're watching the show online, you're going to be able to get them right after the show. Like I said earlier, Marissa and I are going to be doing deep dives each and every week. So please send in your theories and feedback. PosherRecaps.com/buzzbuzzbuzz. We're going to be recording on Sundays, so make sure you get in your feedback by then. And then, of course, Josh and LT going to be doing their Versus podcast, putting Succession Season 4 against Yellow Jackets Season 2. It's a dog-eat-dog world. I cannot wait to listen to that podcast. Let's see. If you want to subscribe to this podcast, PosherRecaps.com/yellowjackets. Super easy. If you want to become a patron, PosherRecaps.com/patreon. You'll get these podcasts ad-free at any level. Grace, what do you have going on? Where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at @HiFromGrace. We're doing Succession. We're doing the immediate recap, and then I'm doing the deep dive with Dr. Amanda, and movies and Dark and all that fun stuff. So you can on Twitter at @HiFromGrace.
I'm at @TheJustSterling. I'm talking Succession. We're on a break from community building, but if you wanted to go listen to season 5, we just wrapped that up. And then talking, honestly, just Yellow Jack and Succession for the most part. You could also find me on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, talking 90s content. We just finished up season 5 of Dawson's Creek, going into season 6. And because it is March Madness, we're not sports people over there. However, we do love a bracket. And we're going to be doing a 90s trend fashion bracket.
Wow.
So that will be fun. So that will be coming out shortly. Go check out all of that content at Shit 90s Pod. And I am at The Just Sterling. Thank you all for listening. We will be back next week with episode 2. And until then, a licky boom boom down.